You may begin. It is being recorded. Please begin.
Morning. Right. Good morning. Welcome everyone to this regular meeting of the Santa Clarita Valley Water Agency Board of Directors for March 5th, 2024, in our new and temporary home for the spring and early summer. With that, I'd like to call the meeting to order and move on to the Pledge of Allegiance. And I'd like to ask Director Peterson if he would kindly stand and lead us in the pledge.
Stand. Hand over your heart. Oh boy. Please follow with me. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Director Peterson. Now we can move on to announcements for tonight's meeting are as follows. This meeting is being conducted in person at the Pine Street Training Room. As a convenience to the public, members of the public may also participate virtually by logging on into the agency Zoom meeting. Any member of the public may listen to the meeting or make comments to the board using either using the call-in number or Zoom webinar link. In the event there is a disruption of service which prevents the agency from broadcasting the meeting to members of the public using either the call-in option or internet-based service, this meeting will not be postponed or rescheduled, but will continue without remote participation. The remote participation option is being provided as a convenience to the public and is not required. Members of the public are welcome to attend the meeting in person. We do have members of the public present, so I would remind them that there are public comment cards in the lobby area, I believe, to help facilitate the public comment process. The procedures for tonight's meeting are as follows. I will introduce each agenda item staff will present. I will ask for public comments. I will then ask for discussion and questions from board members. Once concluded, I will ask for a motion and a second. After any further discussion, the board secretary will call the roll call votes. All directors are present for tonight's meeting except Director Colley. The meeting now will continue to item 3, public comment. Members of the public may comment as to items within the subject matter jurisdiction of the agency that are not on the agenda at this time. We ask that members of the public wishing to comment on items that are listed on this agenda do so at the time each item is considered. We do not have any public comment cards. Madam Secretary, do we have any public comments online? Very good. Thank you. Move to item 4, approval of the agenda. Are there any changes to the March 5th, 2024 board agenda from the board? Looking up and down, I don't see any. So with that, the agenda is hereby approved. We can move to item 5. Do we have any public comment on the agenda? Thank you. Item 5, consent calendar. There are 4 items on the consent calendar tonight. Please note, there were revised minutes that were emailed out, posted to the SCV Water website, and are at each of our spots here at the dais. Are there any public comment on this? Secretary. Then I would entertain a motion for approval of the consent calendar. Okay. Vice President Ozahowski.
A motion to approve.
Motion by Vice President Ozahowski, second by Director Armitage. Unless there's any further discussion, Madam Secretary, please call the roll.
Yes.
Thank you. The consent calendar is approved, and that includes resolution numbers SCV-410, SCV-411, SCV-412, SCV-413, and SCV-414.
Thank you. very much. We can move on to item six, an action item, 2023 communications year. 2023 communications year in review, and the presentation is by our communication manager, Kevin Strauss. Kevin, welcome.
Better, worse. We'll check this again. Whoa. Okay. Good evening and welcome to Pine Street, our first meeting here in quite a while, our first as this agency, and I'm happy to be the first to present to you here in this location, giving a 2023 communications overview. I'll wait for the slides to be up so we can watch along with that. No problem. Thank you. I don't want to get like all on it. Thank you for coming tonight. I want to join this evening, as I know it's a little bit later of a schedule, to give our 2023 communications year in review. This is a somewhat of a repeat for the POL committee, but I did pare down some of the slides. It doesn't go in depth as much on our budget and other items that we've considered in the last months, but it is still that same general presentation. So why am I here and why at this time? We just passed our strategic plan at the last meeting. And so what I wanted to do, next slide, please, is to connect the communications department with their strategic plan. Our department is in charge of sharing with the public all of the implementation of that strategic plan, specifically strategy A.2, communicating with the public about the ongoings of SCV Water, et cetera. And so this is a time for us to review the year that we've had, 2023, and preview some of the things we're working on in 2024. Next slide, please. Our department in outreach encompasses the communications and education teams, but we're also responsible for coordinating our government affairs as an agency. In communications, we achieve this through our networking and advocacy organization memberships. As you see on the left side, those are some of the groups that we're members of locally and through the state. And we do have a conditionally approved position in a government affairs analyst starting this July, or in the new fiscal year. We'll be in charge of coordinating all of those efforts through local, state, and our federal advocates. Next slide, please. I wanted to tee up this presentation by talking about how we measure success, because we do have qualitative and quantitative things that we look for, and how are our campaigns working? Are they being effective with our community? Is our message resonating with them? And how are we telling our story of the agency? So when we look at our feedback, we track our advertising in that we have digital and print advertising. Our digital reports measure impressions and click-throughs to our website. For print, we utilize custom QR codes and short links on websites so we can track when you see this specific advertisement. Did that specific one lead you back to our website, generate a phone call, generate a visit to more information for our programs? In terms of customer actions, we look to see if we have an increase when we time messages out to the community. Are we seeing a greater influx of calls to our customer care center? Are we getting more signups for the lawn replacement program and other initiatives that we have so we can track behavior and sentiment that way? And then finally, in our education and events, we really look for how many people do we interact with, resources that we distributed at events, flyers and other pamphlets. And then we can track through surveys and ask people how we did. How do they like this event that we put on? or what information did they get out of our exhibit at the Home and Garden Show, for example, and try to see if they picked up on the message that we were putting out. Next slide, please. So now looking back specifically at 2023, I wanted to start with what we achieved on a great scale. And I want to give tremendous credit to Kathy Martin, my predecessor, and our communications team for winning 5 PRSALA awards. That stands for the Public Relations Society of America's Los Angeles chapter. That awards program is open to any communications professional that lives and works in the greater Los Angeles area. It's government, healthcare, entertainment, manufacturing, individual public relations professionals. Everybody can participate in this program. And SCV Water won 3 PRISM awards, which is the top in its category, 1 award of excellence, which is second place in its category. And then our Drought Ready SCV campaign for 2023 won best in community relations. And how that one works is it takes all of the community relations winners based on their industry, puts them in a big pool, chooses one grand prize winner from that. So we beat out programs from top communications teams at USC, at Anthem Blue Cross, and other organizations that are based here in Los Angeles. Next slide, please. Now on to the major agency-wide initiatives that were completed last year. The first that I wanted to highlight is our brand guide. Prior to March of 2023, we did not have a unified brand guide for SCV Water since the merger in 2018. There was really no set standard of how our logo was used, what colors we use, what font is used in our emails and our reports and our memos and press releases. So we came together as a group and started to put together what are those best practices as an agency to tell our story, to share our brand with the community and make sure that anytime anybody sees something with SCV Water on it, they know what to expect from a communication standpoint. So that was one initiative that just wrapped up at the end of last year, and we're starting the implementation of that as we speak. Next slide, please. Another internal project that we worked on last year that launched in June 2023 is our assistance guide and our intake form. This really reintroduced communications internally to all of our work groups that we work with every day. It really set the stage for how we can work best to share their projects with the community, because I'm a big believer that outreach is different than communication, and that communication encompasses engagement and dialogue and public information. It's not just telling people, it's talking with people. So this really set up how we can work with our different groups and get that message out and work with our community as well. And then our intake form was born out of that, and it helped us prioritize our projects that we're working on, set our workflow, and make sure that we knew what resources we could devote to each project. Next slide, please. Now getting to some of the community engagement initiatives that we had. The first was the Water Academy. It launched in spring last year, and we had 2 cohorts last year, topics on water management, conservation, and we really wanted to show our community and build leaders in the community that understand where we are as an organization, what we're working on, what our initiatives are, and they can be our advocates out in the community. Our next cohort is planned for this summer, and we found from having 2 last year, it's very similar message. There's not much updates between a spring and a fall group, so we wanted to cut that back and maybe expand it to have 1 each year and update our materials that way. Next slide, please. Our landscape and gardening workshops returned last year to our first in-person classes in over 3 years due to COVID. Our first one in January had 35 attendees, but we saw some drop off after that because we still had a big virtual schedule. We only had 4 in-person classes, and those were our highest attended. So this year, we've expanded to all in-person, but cut the total numbers. We can have larger cohorts, larger groups each time. They're all going to be between this location here at Pine Street and our Bridgeport Park Sustainable Landscape Demonstration Garden. Our next one is going to be on April 6th at the garden, and it's an introduction to what that space is, how the public can use it, and we're going to have an expo there with our conservation team as well. Next slide, please. Another program that we worked on, we'll keep programs that we kept working on through 2023 that were launched either previously or have been agency-wide, is the Ratepayer Assistance Program. And this is targeted to our priority participants, seniors, the permanently disabled, and veterans. And so we really targeted our efforts and outreach on where those individuals would be and get that information to try to boost enrollment during the year. And we continue to do that this year. Next slide, please. In the same vein, we worked on our AMI meter program, really taking what we learned from our customer survey last year that I presented at the strategic plan kickoff of getting direct mail pieces and items handed directly to the customer to pay attention to what programs and what initiatives we're working on. So we focused more on postcards and door hangers to get the message out about when changeouts would be, what customers could expect. And we found that we had over 3,000 meters changed in 2023, and we continue to work with the ops team to get that word out. Next slide, please. The third major component of what we work on is conservation. And so we switched from a drought-heavy messaging last year to more of the conservation as a California way of life messaging. We still continue to talk about water savings and best practices for the community, but less so in terms of a drought and restrictive nature and more of a partnership of working together. So you'll see some new updated information and collateral that went out on the left side. Coming up in 2024, we're expecting to have more information on non-functional turf to send out to the community. We've just started our Conservation in Action story series, and some videos are going to be coming out in the next few weeks that tell the story of major conservation and conversion projects in Santa Clarita and successes that people have had. And then the third one on the bottom is our Water Champions program that is targeted to the business community to make sure that they are water-wise as well. Next slide, please. Our group also is responsible for coordinating event participation on the agency's behalf. And one major community event that we participate in each year is KHTS's Home and Garden Show at Central Park. The one last year had over 20,000 attendees, and it really includes a cross-section of the agency, and our team coordinates the different work groups to have one large tent and one large presence there, but broken down into water quality, education, et cetera. And we're currently working on the 2024 version, which will be the 27th and 28th of April this year. Next slide, please. Our final major event that we put on start to finish was the ribbon cutting at the Bridgeport Park Sustainable Landscape Demonstration Garden. It was a dual event with the city, and we appreciated their support in letting us have that space. It is, you know, a park within a park. But we were able to put on a great community event that highlighted the features of the garden, but also drew out the community and taught them about what we were trying to do in terms of sustainability and conservation. Some other events that we participate throughout the year that we will continue to participate in is the Senior Fair at the Senior Center, the Cowboy Festival, River Rally, Concerts in the Park, Light Up Main Street, and Touch a Truck are on our schedule this year as well, among others. Next slide, please. And so now into some of the metrics from our social media, and then followed by our traditional advertising in the last year. We were able to increase our audience across all platforms, and granted, water agencies on social media is not really the hot viral ticket that it once was or never was. But we do see continued increase in engagement and numbers to our accounts. And we attribute that to our focus on video and focus on personal stories and connections. We tend to do better with our photos and our videos that include people and talk about what they do every day rather than just trying to tell people what to do. So you'll see some of the numbers there in terms of our engagement for videos across all platforms. We also focused heavily on telling the story of our agency and the work we do in our industry. That's led to increase in LinkedIn followers by 40%, as well as higher engagement. And the goal there is to help with recruitment for when we're looking to fill positions. Next slide, please. Our goals for 2024, obviously, is to continue to increase engagement. We want to do this through strategically encouraging audience participation with questions, polls, engagement challenges, and those things that are trendy. And we found that when we are able to join a trend in the moment, when we're agile and we can adapt, that those pieces of content do the best. So we're going to continue to keep an eye towards that for this year. Next slide, please. For our traditional advertising, we focus on three key media. That's print, television, and radio. You'll see a chart on the right side of the table that has our total ad spend for FY23 through projected the end of this fiscal year. And I do want to note that that includes all invoices for all departments. So there are some project-specific conservation, water quality, customer care that those budgets pay for, not just from the communications team, but we do help facilitate those ad placements. Next slide, please. For digital ads, this is one that I do want to take a moment to explain a little bit more because it can be scary to see numbers on the right side and drops in 40%, 61%, 78%, and have some context with that. So the one that I want to focus on the most is in the search campaign, click-through rate is at 18.49%. Click-through rate, for those that may not have worked with advertising and with media before, is when somebody sees your ad, do they click on it and get to your website? That's what we're trying to accomplish. We're trying to get people to see our advertisement and do something with it. So our click-through rate is where I'm most concerned, because you can show an ad to 38,000 people, but if they don't do anything with it, is it successful? So a drop of 15% is large, but in the context of this, all digital search campaigns in the last year had an average click-through rate of 6.11%. We're at 18.49%. We attribute our higher percentage of the year before to our drought messaging. We were heavily blitzing drought restrictions, and people were searching for drought restrictions and lawn conversions and those things. Those sort of tapered off. So while we have that down, it's still massively larger than where everybody as an industry is. And in comparison to the next highest, well, the highest single industry is entertainment. So that's movie advertisements, television shows. Those have an 11.7% click-through rate. We're still 6 points higher than that. So we've changed our strategy coming off of that, knowing that we are still down. How are we going to revamp that? We're put a little more focus on our search and a little bit more into, like I said, that partnership of conservation and water savings, and not so much of the you can't do this restrictions messaging that we had before. Next slide, please. And the final thing I wanted to talk about is our website. Our website launched after a long, drawn-out process in February of 2023. We designed it with mobile-first and a customer-first experience, so that when people get to our website, you should only take at most 2 to 3 clicks to find the piece of content that you're looking for. We have a seamless integration now with our billing system, with our conservation portal, so people can easily pay their bill. They can sign up for rebates, and they can do it all in one platform. We've also created project-specific information pages. And while we're not the lead authority on Delta Conveyance or sites, people still hear it in the news. They still have questions about it. So we've put together landing pages that they can then facilitate that research for themselves. And with that, I'm happy to take any questions that you may have. Thank you.
Thank you, Kevin, for your presentation. Your department and our group has been quite busy last year. Madam Secretary, do we have any public comments on the presentation? Very good. Thank you. Open it up to board comments, questions, discussion. Director Brownstein.
Our click rate is better than that's massive. That's like really, really, really massive. I also want to say kudos for the brand packaging, streamlining everything. So people don't let them back. I think that builds trust as well, because they just understand it. And I also love the whole system ticket and how we helping other departments. I mean, I just think it's another way of how all the departments work together.
Director Brownstein,
I have it right.
Ooh.
Higher?
Yep.
Regarding the Bridgeport part, we provide any submissions to any garden magazines or home and garden kind of productions or.
So when we've submitted to different industry publications, the issue is they're very not regional anymore. they're much more national and global. Home and Gardens magazine, for example, is part of the Condé Nast, I believe, so that they don't have so many specific local reporters or beats. We've submitted the content to them. It's their publication, their editorial decision to run that. But we do have a media consultant that creates videos with us, Three Leaves Consulting, Three Leaves Productions, that has put together a package of videos so that we can send. We can continue to put through our advertising. We can continue to put through our advertising and other channels to still get that content out to the community. And maybe it doesn't appear in that magazine, but it still is reaching folks online. Thank you.
Director Cooper.
Thank you, President Martin. Karen, first off, I just want to say that is one of the best presentations I've seen at this board. You did an absolutely excellent job. I sure hate it when people talk to the slide and repeat what's on the slide. And you didn't do that. You really made a great presentation. I see in the cost that you use Valpak. Can you measure kind of response you get from Valpak? Because I get those all the time, and I probably haven't opened one in 5 years.
That's an interesting partner that we have, and I appreciate the questions, Director Cooper. So Valpak is one of the ones where we have a advertisement-specific QR code and website. So it doesn't just say yourscvwater.com, because anybody could type that in. So we have a specific short bit.ly link or other vanity URL that we set up to track that information as it comes in and see, well, they had to have seen it from this advertisement because that's the only place that we've advertised this QR code or this URL. Valpak also offers a digital option. It's a little bit scary, a little bit big brother, where if you're on your device and you're in a geographic area and you go on to Yahoo, for lack of, you know, any other media company, and Google water rebates, Valpak then has a network where they can serve you that advertisement again when you're on your computer, and they can serve you a video pre-roll the next time you watch something on your phone. And that's all the same network. It's what we work with Spectrum on a lot as well. So we have a television ads through Spectrum, and then that goes into their media network online. So as long as you're connected to the same wireless signal or same cell tower and you're in that area, it's pretty scary, but you will see the ad two or three different times. So we have seen some success with that. That's another one that where we track that. Last fall, we put out an information, we put out a Valpak coupon insert, coupons for the ratepayer assistance program. And while we didn't see a huge uptick in website visits directly from that URL, we had a big increase in phone calls to customer care asking about ratepayer assistance. So we know that demographic is maybe not going online, but they're picking up the phone to call the next time they get their bill. And we weren't pushing that out anywhere else. We were just saying, let's try this and see. So I can't directly say that one caused the other, but it's close enough where we put that out. It came out, then the next week we had a jump in phone calls asking about that.
Or not.
Dr. Armitage.
I'm also in legislation, so I've had the opportunity to hear this and to ask my questions and give input. So I'm just going to make a general statement of gratitude again. Thank you for bringing this to the full board, because we felt like this was such a good presentation that it would be great to bring to everybody. And, you know, you all, your team is the face of the agency, and I just want to say you do such a good job at communicating with our customers. So thank you for that. Thank you to your whole team. And I continue to look forward to seeing how your work evolves. And then just as a follow-up to the question that Vice President Ozuchowski asked about magazine articles related to the Bridgeport Park garden, I just wanted to throw out, and maybe you've already thought of this, but the California Native Plant Society has a magazine. I think they have one for all of California, and then they also have their chapter magazine. So you're nodding your head. So
I'll have to go back to confirm that, but I do have a list of those that I sent individual emails to, and that rings a bell when you say it. I'm reminded of it, but I have to check for sure that I can contact them.
Okay. All right.
Just, okay. Where should I start? April. April, a lot of things going on. Agency for remember, water as much May.
So typically for the celebration months, I don't know that we have an event specific for the community, but we do tailor our messaging and our social media content to highlight those. So we do Water Professionals Appreciation is in the fall. We have Engineering Week that we do with our engineering group. So each of those is on our content calendar. I don't believe we have a specific community event planned for May tied to water. Unless, at the Home and Garden Show that we do give that information out as it's the end of April and launch into that.
Good side.
I will be talking to you about some good information at Urban Water Institute. But it might, I get to that. So, to mention as far as activities and events, one thing that I found really interesting was their discussion of water affordability showed that participation in rebates and discount programs was lower in certain communities that really could benefit from it. And maybe you have to go to that community directly, like they talked about boots on the ground or, you know, targeting those kind of programs. So one suggestion was to, you know, look at, are there programs in those particular communities where affordability is an issue to get more of a message out there?
So I do have a little bit of a teaser for that. It's more in the conservation realm, so I don't want to step on Mr. Dickens' toes too much. I know that that group is putting on community pop-up events launching this spring into summer into fall, specifically at HOAs. That's an area that people are not taking advantage of our program. So they're meeting in those communities, having pop-up events for the residents in those communities. And we are working with our outreach team and theirs as well to coordinate some of those. And we're looking at accounts for folks who have maybe started an application for a rebate program and abandoned it along the way. How do we follow up with them and reach out and say, how can we help you complete that process? Or maybe they've trickled off and we just haven't heard from them in a while. So we're working with that team right now to get that information. It's not 100% there, but it is in that. You're working on, and I look forward to talking to you more about the water information that you have.
Okay. I don't see any more questions from the board, but I would like to add, Kevin, that it just seems quite apparent that we've really raised the level of our communication department, and we're much more frequently in the news with very high quality news releases on a variety of topics. So that has been a noticeable improvement, and congratulations to you and your team.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
All right, thank you very much. We can move to item 7, water recharge feasibility study stage presentation. It's going to be presented by our water resources planner, Ernesto Velasquez. And I just before you make your presentation, Ernesto, this is an item that is very interesting. I'm sure it's been of interest to all board members, and certainly timely when we're out in the public and we're asked, what's going on with all this stormwater that's going down the river? Are we doing anything to capture that? The presentation will help us what it is the agency is doing. So please proceed.
President Martin, before taking through this presentation, I just wanted to give a little bit of background about this work. Managed aquifer recharge is one of those opportunities for us to enhance the groundwater supplies when we recharge during wet and above normal years and use that water during dry years. And many, many of the different agencies are doing this, including the banking of operations that we are having in the Central Valley, where they take water when we have excess water and put it underground and use it in dry heaps. And this is in line with our conjunctive use strategies that the agency have been adopting. So the agency started this process a couple of years ago, before my time, during Director Mark's time. And this process of developing a local managed aquifer recharge requires many steps and also entails answering important questions for us. And these questions are helping us into determine the right size of the project and where is the site of the project, how much water we're going to be able to do to infiltrate, how much water we're going to be able to keep in the basin, and also the permitting, the environmental impacts, and all of these. So it's a process that we started a couple of years ago. Today in the presentation, Ernesto is going to take you through the first phase or the early phase of this feasibility analysis that have been finished recently. And in that, he will share with you what kind of questions that we have answers for right now that encourage us to go to the next phase. And also it will help us in determining what are the next questions. So that will be continuing in planning and determining the feasibility of this activity. I just wanted to note that Ernesto has been invited to present this work in the International Managed Aquifer Recharge Conference in Tucson, Arizona, happening this April. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Ollie. Good evening, everyone. Can everyone hear me and see me? Oh, okay. Can everyone hear me? We are testing all the capabilities of the Pine Tree Room tonight.
Ernesto, we can't hear you.
Okay. Let's see. My microphone shows that I'm good.
Interpreter.
Testing. Let's see.
I remember the first couple of meetings we started.
Testing.
We can't hear you on the
No, that should be.
Hello. All right, I may need to call in.
Ernesto, we can hear you. Well, I can hear you.
Oh, okay. You can hear me. Can everyone else hear me? Hello. Let's see. Someone was speaking. Sorry. Who's able to?
I'm on the phone.
Oh, okay. Thank you, Leticia. So
it must. Yeah.
Okay. So issues with the room audio. All right.
All right, Ernesto, we are ready. We can hear you.
Okay, perfect. Can you hear me now?
Yes, we can.
Perfect. All right. We're working out all the issues on the first day. Not a problem. All right. April, will you be moving through the presentation, or do you want me to share my screen here?
We are all set. Just tell me when to hit next.
All right, thank you. So thank you, Ali, for the introduction. And good evening, everyone. I'm glad we're working out the issues here. My name is Ernesto Velasquez. I'm one of the water resources planners, and I'm happy to provide you the latest information regarding the agency's groundwater recharge feasibility studies. So there's a lot of questions that need to be answered in order to implement a full-scale recharge project. And these feasibility studies really honed into one of the most basic questions that we needed to answer first. Next slide, please. That question being, can the agency infiltrate water in the local basin to support groundwater recharge? You know, from a physical geologic perspective, is our basin actually capable of accepting recharge water for so that we can implement a recharge program? That's really what we're trying to tackle in conducting these studies. And we did a lot of work over the last few years, both in the field and through modeling. We conducted phase one environmental assessments, biologic studies, various types of field work. And I know all of you may not be completely up to speed on what's been going on, but I'll show you a map on the next slide, and I will take you through some pictures showing some of the field work that was completed. We'll move on to going over the findings, and we'll finish off with some recommended next steps that we're happy to tackle. Next slide, please. So starting off with the locations. So we had two locations of interest for the recharge study. The location on the top left is the Castaic school site, Castaic location. And if you take the 5 north, that big street going up towards Castaic, next slide, please, April. We'll zoom in there. And if you take the 5 north and you get off on Ridge Route Road, the agency has some property up there that we are interested in exploring recharge feasibility on the west end of the basin. On the east end of the basin, the Pine Tree location, next, please. The agency has a small piece of property up there. The majority of it, of the adjacent property is city owned, but this location is just past the Sand Canyon off-ramp off of the 14 freeway. This is on the east end of the basin. So these are the two main locations we are looking at in order to conduct the feasibility studies. Next slide, please. So that field work. Now, the field work at both locations is nearly identical. So these pictures will be a mix of both the Pine Tree and Castaic work. But what we're really interested in is getting an idea of the geology below the site. In order to do that, we conducted some geophysical surveys. You can see here on the top left, we use the ERT method and dual M system, and these are technologies that you can think of as ground penetrating radar technologies. They allow us to peer through the soil, get an idea of the geology below the site, the soil content. And we weren't just interested in the geology below the site, but also interested in the infiltration rates at the site. And to calculate those, we did some infiltration testing seen here in the middle. Really allowing us to get an idea if we were to implement a recharge program here, how much water would the site be able to handle? That's what we were really aiming to answer with the infiltration testing. You can see in the picture, we have an infiltration test pit. It was excavated at a known size. We also introduce water, a known quantity of water. And we're able to get an idea of how fast that water percolates down into the soil. To help us with those calculations, we used transducer, as shown on the top right. That transducer reads pressure, and we are able to install that at the bottom of the infiltration pit. And it essentially allows you to take readings at certain intervals to get an idea of the change in water level throughout the study period. So we use that diver to help calculate an acre foot per day amount of recharge at each test pit. We also use the diver in our water level monitoring. And you can see on the bottom right, the diver's being installed in one of our monitoring locations. And that allowed us to see seasonal change throughout the study period. Next slide, please. So in addition to the ground penetrating radar technologies, we also wanted to correlate that with physical samples. So we did borehole sampling. And in order to do that, we used a limited access drill rig here shown on the top left. That allowed us to navigate existing paths, especially at the Pine Tree location. There's some tight spots. And this small drill rig allowed us to use existing paths that our operators use for regular daily and weekly well service, and allow us to minimize any impacts to local vegetation. Gave us pinpoint accuracy to set up exactly where we needed to. In the middle picture here, you can see the borehole sampling, the auger going through. And we did two boreholes at this location about 40 feet deep, and did that in order to obtain soil samples. You can see those soil samples on the top right. We took core samples about every 5 to 10 feet or so, and that got shipped off to the lab for further analysis. And all of that information that was collected helped inform the local groundwater model, so we can run through various scenarios. Next slide, please. So what did we find? We found at the cast stake portion that the alluvial thickness went down 150 feet. Some portions it only went down 50 feet, but that gave us a lot of great soil to work with, which is reflected here in the infiltration rates of 7 to 12 feet per day, which is more than enough to implement a recharge program. The modeling showed that this site can support about 5,000 acre feet per year of managed aquifer recharge. There was a caveat being that during wet years, when the water table is above average, is much closer to the surface, any recharge activities would need to be monitored to make sure that we don't raise the water table high enough to where it goes to the surface and essentially just runs downstream. So that's more of an operational consideration that we'll have to account for in the next steps. But it was great that the modeling was able to give us a heads up on that. For the Pine Tree area, we saw that the alluvial was deeper. It went down 180 feet and some portions only 130 feet. But the infiltration testing rate there in the Pine Tree area was pretty incredible, 40 to 46 feet per day, a lot of infiltration. It pretty much is as much water as we can put in, we were able to put into those infiltration pits. It was accepting all of it. But the modeling showed that the site can support a minimum of 5,000 to 10,000 acre feet per year of managed aquifer recharge. And to put that into context, 7,000 acre feet per year is approximately 10% of our annual demands. So 5 to 10,000 acre feet for the Pine Tree location alone, that's 7 to 14% of our annual demands available as a recharge. These are not trivial amounts of water. That's pretty significant. Next slide, please. Now, we also did some particle tracking analysis at the Pine Tree location. And if you're not familiar with particle tracking, essentially allows us to estimate travel time to a nearby location. So the Pine Tree location on the top right, next please. The particle tracking analysis went down to the bottom left. We would see that orange triangle. That's our North Oaks wells. Those North Oaks wells are about 3 miles downstream. The particle tracking showed that any recharge water would take approximately 10 months to reach those North Oaks wells. That is really, really good, really good news. That's just 3 miles downstream. It's not even halfway out of our basin. And with a travel time of 10 months, it opens up possibilities like dry year storage. Having recharged water available as dry year storage that can be done here locally could alleviate some of the pressures off of our banking programs during dry years, will increase the resiliency of our local supplies, and allow us to have, you know, local management of that resource so that we can optimize it during dry years as needed. In addition to that, we also took a look at losses. So we modeled various scenarios and wanted to get an idea, well, if we were to recharge water, Does any of that water, do we lose any of that water? Does it cross our basin boundary into Piru? And we found that in all scenarios that were modeled, water losses are 5% or less in all scenarios. So dry year storage supply, the potential for dry year storage supply, minimal losses. I think we answered the question, can our basin support a recharge program? And in summary, yes, there was no fatal flaw, at least from a geologic standpoint, that was identified in these studies. It looks like our basin could support a recharge program, and that opens up a new batch of questions. Next slide, please. Now that we know that we can do it, the next question is, how do we go about doing it? How can we construct and implement a recharge program that will benefit our community? Next slide, please. So I have a short list of some recommended next steps that we'll be looking into. The first being project easement and land acquisition. Especially at the Pine Tree area, there are a big portion of that is city owned. So we need to do some investigation on our different options and how to go about a path forward for implementing a project there. We'd also need to do some engineering analysis, and there's so much that needs to get done for engineering, identifying a point source, developing pipeline routes to the spreading basins, conceptual designs for the spreading basins, operational scenarios that we want to take a look at, any infrastructure constraints that need to be worked out, or infrastructure improvements that need to be made. Just so much work that needs to be done engineering-wise in order to implement a full-scale project. Water quality-wise, we would be introducing a fair amount of water to these spreading basin at these locations, so we would need to do an anti-degradation analysis at each location. And developing permitting strategies, the next point here, there are a lot of agencies that would need to be involved in implementing a full-scale project. We would have to coordinate with CDFW, with Fish and Wildlife, with the Army Corps, with Flood Control District, with the Regional Board, just so much work that would need to be done there. We need to do CEQA, and really developing a permitting strategy to help us navigate that. It would be vital in implementing a full-scale project. Additionally, we would want to do some modeling. As new information comes in, as we start answering more questions pop up. Operational scenarios change, pump recovery strategies change, and additional modeling would be warranted. So with that, I hope I gave you a good general overview of the studies. To summarize, we answered the question, can we do recharge? Yes, we can. We have a lot of new questions to answer on how we can implement that. And that brings me to the questions portion of the presentation. Next slide, please, April. And with that, I do want to make one last comment. This wasn't solely a water resources effort. Our consultants and our staff, the engineering staff, the operations staff were really vitally important in helping us complete these studies. This was really a team effort. And I just want to give a shout out to the rest of our great staff to help us get this across the finish line. It's much appreciated, and we learned a lot of great information from this effort. With that, I'm happy to answer any questions you may have.
Thank you, Ernesto. Very excellent presentation. Madam Secretary, do we have any public comment?
We do not.
Very good. We can open up to board questions and discussion. Director Bronstein.
Okay, so hopefully, I want to yell in your ear. Hopefully this works better. First of all, thank you so much for that presentation. It was absolutely excellent. It was educational. It was informative. You delivered it so well. Like, it was really great. Thank you. I learned.
Thank you.
I'm glad that we're one of the questions that I had you kind of answered, because I was wondering if there's an environmental concern about having them to, you know, grandfather in. Hello?
I can't hear you, but you do sound very far away.
I am. I am. You're probably really far away.
The new spaceship is landing.
It's just different. My question was more environmental. If need.
Seriously.
Oh, there we go.
It was more environmental, and I understand that you are going to to look into it more about if we're going to grandfather they're in needing to constantly recharge the water. This is going to be a long night.
I can hear you.
Okay. Can you hear me when I talk like this?
Yes.
Oh, amazing. Great. Then it doesn't really matter. The only question is I was wondering, it sounds like Pine Tree is very thirsty, and that's awesome. But will it, and it sounds like the water is moving very slowly. The question is, will it move faster in a dry, like after multiple dry years? As in, if the rest of the riverbed is very dry, won't water travel faster? And we water.
Thank you for your question. In my understanding, the lower water levels will actually cause it to travel slower. So the higher the water table is, there's more hydraulic pressure, which will reduce the travel time downstream. So the higher it is, the faster it will flow out. But it, in each scenario that we did with different recovery options, it was still 9 to 10 months to the North Oak swells.
Thank you.
You're very welcome.
Director Allison.
Thank you, Mr. Velasquez, for your presentation. Thank you to Dr. El-Hassan for bringing this to the full board for review. I think it went to committee first, right? But thank you for bringing this, because this is really great information. This is highly, highly fascinating. I know you kind of alluded to it in the past when I think the studies were starting, and so I've kind of been secretly keeping my fingers crossed that this works. And so it's really great to see that the information that's been collected over what sounds like the last several months has yielded this great piece of information that groundwater recharge, you know, is possible in our basin. I think this would be a great addition to our portfolio. Can you still hear me? Is it cutting out too?
Yes, I can.
Okay, thank you. This will be a great addition to the portfolio, which what seems to be a more environmentally friendly source. So that's, I think, really great. And I look forward to getting updates in the future as the work continues around this. Just a couple of questions clarifying. I think you said that the strategy or the suggestion is to use both locations. Is that correct?
If we can use both locations, that we are pursuing both. Additional work will need to be done at both locations to see what amount of work is going to be needed, engineering wise, permitting wise. You know, there's still a lot of questions that need to be answered, but at least we know from a geologic perspective that both locations are viable as potential recharge locations.
Right. And then lastly, the 5% loss that you said, that was also for both locations combined?
That was specifically for the Pine Tree location. For the Cascade portion, that was done much earlier, and the modeling focused on velocities around the site, but we would still need to do some particle tracking to determine what that length of time is going to be out of the basin there.
I know that's the one I think we were more concerned about in terms of the water flowing out of the surface area. So, okay, thank you. This was really great. I think it's fantastic news to hear. And again, looking forward to more when you are ready to do this.
Thank you.
Vice President Ozahowski.
Just would like to address your attention. This is great news. We can add that to our portfolio when it comes to fruition. And having that in the exchange, the NK groundwater, purple pipe, and this, all we need is a desal plant. We'll have a full portfolio with that. Just to address Dr. Armitage's concerns about the stake, if that water does flow out of the basin, that gives us an opportunity to work with United. So it's a win-win. And once we hear more on the in the committee of progress, we'll go ahead and bring it back to the board. Thanks again for the presentation, and back to you, President Martin.
Vice President Boothang.
I agree. It was a great presentation.
I appreciate the walkthrough, like, why are we doing this? What did we do? And then the next steps. I think it's a good summary for those of us not on the committee. One thing that this reminded me of was from also from the Urban Water Institute, since I didn't write much, now I'm talking about it. For Diamond Valley Lake, Jeff Keitlinger pointed out that that location was specifically picked because there was zero endangered species. And so my question on all of these reviews, do we, before we dive all the way in into permitting, do we do a screen? Like, is there endangered species? Is this going to be 5 times higher in cost than the other one? Are we going to have to keep doing it forever if, we have birds move in? Is there some kind of quick and dirty CEQA screen that will be coming up to see if one's more favorable or if one is going to be problematic?
Thank you for your question. Yes. So in the next step in permitting strategies, we will be exploring that. We did a broad overview, especially at the pine tree location, biologic assessment. We had to submit an application package to CDFW, and in that application package, we submitted the results of our biologic assessment, which showed that there is no critical habitat within our field study sites. However, when we implement a full-scale project, we will need to broaden that area and do further analysis. But at least for the study portion, there was no critical habit within these areas that we were working in.
Do you happen to know if birds move in or creatures move into this lovely wetland area that we might create? Are we responsible to maintain that even in times of drought, or is there a special provision for recharge that we wouldn't have to maintain that?
Ali set up a fantastic recharge meet and greet over at Orange County Water, where they do a lot of recharge, and it appears that there would be some requirements, some responsibilities for maintaining habitat, but there are different strategies that you can implement to help, engineer out those risks. However, I should point out that in the modeling, it shows that we had some criteria for when we can implement recharge. And that criteria was if we have a table A supply of 45% or above. So we wouldn't necessarily be recharging every year. We'd be recharging 60% of the year. So out of the 43 years that were modeled, 26 would be recharge years. And that may help in not having it constantly wet every year. It may help with some of those mitigation strategies.
Okay. Thank you.
Any other questions or discussion from the board? I don't see any. So, Ernesto, I had one question. Thank you very much for your presentation. This is kind of our second time through. We saw this at Water Resources. So, I had a question about the, if we put in our theoretical 5 to 10,000 acres of feet of pine tree, in which you say the modeling shows that it would take 9 or 10 months to get to the well site. From a molecule of water bookkeeping approach, do we have to withdraw that water at the well site at the 10-month point, or where does that water go if we don't withdraw it?
So that, thank you for your question. So we, in our modeling, we did a loss analysis to see if it leaves our basin, and then it's really truly lost to us, right? It goes down to the next basin. And even in the no recovery scenario, so we have the recharge portion and we have the recovery portion. And even when we turned off recovery, where we recovered none of the recharge water, from my understanding, John Porcello, who did the modeling, noted that there's a lot of storage capacity within our basin, that even when we don't recover water, we're only losing 5% of the water out of the basin. So I know the animation that I provided is very simplistic, where it shows a line going straight to the wells, but really that molecule of water is going up, down, left, right, and kind of going throughout the basin. And even if we were to recover none of it, our basin has enough storage capacity where in the no recovery scenario, we're still only losing about 5% of the water, with the caveat that I think there were 3 years where we modeled that the precipitation was in the extremes. And in those years where the water table's higher, we could lose 5 to 9% of any recharged water out of the basin. I hope that answers the question. That molecule of water, even if we don't necessarily recover it, it is being stored here in the storage capacity within our basin.
No, very good. Thank you. One last question. At the 45% level, would that water be considered surplus at that time?
The goal is, I know Sarah, especially in this last year with a lot of water, having trouble not having any trouble filling up all of our banks, and then having additional water that we have to store, we could potentially bring that water down here and use that as a source of local recharge. So it would be, there would be some scenarios where we wouldn't be able to recharge every year. So in that 45% year, yes, when we have a surplus, we'd be able to recharge that. And if Sarah doesn't have a place to put it in one of our banks in Kern County, and then we can convey that water, we would be able to convey that water down here for local banking, so to speak.
Thank you very much. I appreciate the information. Unless there's any further question, I think we're complete with that item. Thank you, Ernesto.
Thank you, everyone. My pleasure.
Opening remarks. And we can now move on to, let's see, item 8, General Manager's Report on Activities, Projects, and Programs. Mr. Stone.
How's your turn? I'm going to try the mic.
You can't turn it on. There
it goes. It's like the magic 8-ball. So I'm just going to do this because I think Steve and I were watching, and it seemed like a stationary mic on an art surface. It's a little awkward. Maybe we could build a little platforms for them. I can get away with a little bit closer. Anyway, a few things to report. I appreciated the opportunity to turn it over to Steve at our last meeting, and made my way to Kansas City for a big folk music international conference. There were groups there from far corners of the world, playing, in one case, an instrument I'd never seen before, from Estonia. It's kind of like describing, if you were to describe a violin to your kid and send them out to the garage to build one, they would come back with something that might look like that. It was like a grid shape, and you played the strings from inside the grid. But they were masters at it. A wonderful experience. Anyway, Kansas City was as warm, if not warmer, than here. So our weird weather patterns continue. I have been to that conference before when it was 0 degrees outside. And this time it actually got over 70 a couple of times. Moving on, lots to report. Had a chance to go to a great lunch recognition at our Golden Triangle warehouse for Roger Hitchin, our longtime floor supervisor who's retired now at this point as of last Friday. And a really good send off for Roger. It was great to hear some of the stories, some of which I can't repeat. And those are the best. That's why you go to those retirements and you hear about the way things used to be done. Had a good meeting with, as you know, Whitaker's parent corporation, Meggitt PLC, a British company, was bought out a couple of years ago by Parker Hannifin. We are finally starting to see, I think, the Parker team take shape in terms of how they're working on the ground with this site. And we had an opportunity to have a meeting. We've had a number of virtual interactions and back and forth, but we finally had, a face-to-face meeting with their assistant general counsel, environmental health and safety director, and a new project coordinator. So we're seeing some changes in their team taking shape. I thought it was a very productive discussion covering some of the history of the project. This mainly was focused on implementing the first settlement agreement, the Saugus 1 and 2 wells project, as well as a little bit about containment on the site. We're continuing to have back and forth between us and them and DTSC on what's the best strategy and really just a strategy that's actually to be implemented. So I found it a hopeful discussion, though, and we'll see where that leads, whether it leads to a new era sometimes when teams change, dynamics change. But obviously Parker is a large corporation that is in business to make money as well, so we'll see how that goes. So over on our other flank, we have the. I was doing so well. There we go. You just like keep going, stream of consciousness. So over on our other flank, as has been in the news a lot, the Chiquita Canyon landfill. We had an uptick in customer calls and concerns about hearing about, well, first, you know, just the exciting pyrotechnics out there, and then mention of benzene in the leachate water. And so we met internally. We decided to go ahead and do a proactive sampling of wells near the landfill. We sample for this on a regular basis, but it's about a year apart, and we have not detected any benzene in those samples. We went ahead and accelerated that sampling by a few months this year. And that came back with no indications of benzene or other volatile organics at this stage. So we'll continue to watch for that. I want to thank our operations and water quality staff for jumping on that once we made the go decision. We wanted to be able to give a fresh answer to that question. As well, as soon as I hesitate, it's almost like a conditioning device, so you can't say no. Kevin and our PIO team are working on the set of frequently asked questions, and we'll be adding another page to our water quality website just to, again, we're not directly responsible for the oversight or management of the problem, but obviously when you hear about that and you hear about water, people put the two together and wonder. So we will continue to do that, as well as we're trying to bring to bear a little bit of technical assistance to look at the information that's coming out of that, just to determine whether there's anything else we should be doing. The Lithia process is moving along, and Rochelle and I met today. We'll be seeing a couple of items coming first to committee and then to the board. Probably the most notable is an upcoming, and we don't want to debate it here because it's going to be on a future agenda. But just as a heads up, a big question that will be coming to the board is, because it's a 10-year loan, there's a lot of content in there that is considered, I guess, retail facilities under our act. And so one of the things that the underwriters want to get is a clearance of the retail debt threshold for the projects that are in that loan. So we've got a couple options we're working on to get a vote, but we will need a vote of the board on that issue in order to be able to proceed with the loan. As a reminder, that that provision of SB 634 actually transitioned significantly in about 7 months, almost 9 months, to a simple majority vote, but currently it requires more than a majority vote to do that. And we have done that on another item. We did that on PFAS-related projects. The board voted to categorically kind of clear those projects by taking a formal vote. And it just may be, in this case, one of the options would simply be to clear the Withia-related package, keeping in mind that Withia package has some other features, but I want to not Brown Act this. So that's it. Just a no surprises advisory that that's coming. And then finally, the boardroom remodel is underway. So we're on the fun tonight and trying to kind of adapt to our new environment. Over at Rio Vista in the boardroom, it's down to the metal studs in the walls. They have been working hard to first clear out the boardroom materials, and then today they really did a demo. Looks like one of those home renovation programs, you know, on time lapse. It's amazing when you have people, you know, to get things done, how quickly it happens. I don't want to talk about that because I'm supposed to be getting a bathroom remodel done at home, and it hasn't started. So that's it for me on updates. Any questions? I'd be happy to attempt to answer.
Thank you, Mr. Stone. Madam Secretary, do we have any public comment on Mr. Stone's report?
If you, we do, just one moment.
We do not?
We do. Just one moment. Okay. Ms. Blambe, you may begin your public comment.
Thank you. It's my computer started doing something odd. I just wanted to particularly thank Mr. Stone for his care in doing proactive water quality monitoring. I think that is such, I really have appreciated you always for doing that. And I think that it really helps the community have more faith in our water when someone right to begin with does the monitoring, because Chiquita Canyon Landfill is not doing the monitoring and it's making people wonder what they're hiding. But instead, our water agency goes out and monitors right away and discloses when there's a problem, like we did with the PF,
the PFAS. So I just wanted to particularly thank you for that. And I also wanted to bring up that before even Steve Cole's time at New Hope County Water District, when they were doing the expansion in 1998, and I was on the board then, we did ask as a water district for some multi-port wells, which I don't know if they got installed or not. They did not get installed. There are no monitoring wells outside the perimeter of the landfill. It's unlikely that the water would be flowing east, but I think that it would, you know, for any water that would come from Newhall Ranch area or from the farm fields down there or something, it would be helpful if there was a monitoring well. And that's one thing, is both a community hat and water district hat. When I was on the board, I really advocated for having a water well, and I'm wondering, a water monitoring well, and I'm wondering if you couldn't promote that to regional water quality, that they put in a water monitoring well in the aquifer outside the landfill, because the front cells of that landfill are not lined. They have a clay barrier, but they have no lining. And so, and you know, the collection system for the leachate has been totally overwhelmed. So it would be maybe a really good idea for the water company to join with others in advocating for a monitoring well outside the perimeter of the landfill in the aquifer that as it moves west, because it's unlikely that it's going to move upstream or go back into the valley. But anyway, I just would put that bug in everybody's ear that it would be really helpful, I think, if the water agency also advocated for it. Many people are. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Planbeck, for your comments. Nice to hear from you again. Do we have any other public comment, April?
We do not.
Very good. And by the way, Ben, if you're still listening, Mr. Stone was writing feverishly while you were talking.
That's good.
Any other question or discussion?
kind of along the same line. Here's me. That's what it was about. We have an idea about what the distance is between the leachate collection system and the wells that we monitor. Is that miles or half a mile?
Sure.
Sure.
There we go. Well, we sampled multiple wells in an abundance of caution. So, you know, probably closest, trying to think which ones would be the closest.
E wells
would be the closest, and they're not that close. You know, there's kind of a theory that the current wells that we're running are probably up gradient, but there's also just the thought that why not, you know, we sample for those things anyway, so why not just run them and see what we've got. The other wells were further up. We also just wanted to kind of alleviate any concerns by sampling pretty much everything in that vicinity. I think we sampled 5 or 6 wells in that area, Director Marks. But yeah, E wells would have been the closest.
Thank you.
But I should note too, those are the E wells. The E wells are not running right now anyway because of PFAS. So we went ahead and just sampled them for those constituents, though, to be sure.
Thank you. So I also want to express my gratitude for mentioning the response to the expressed concerns related to the Chiquita Canyon landfill, and also for proactively testing the wells in that area. I think it puts me at ease to hear that. I'm sure the rest of the board members too, and I'm sure the community members who are taking the time to make phone calls to ask about it. So thank you for doing that. So I watched the LA Regional Water Board. Did I say that right? LA Regional Water Board meeting a couple weeks ago, and they did have a staff report on that item. And what they had said at the time was the testing that had been done to date didn't give any indication for concern for groundwater just yet, at least preliminarily.
And that they were still awaiting results of surface water testing. But similar to Ms. Plambeck, the Friends of the Santa Clara River also did request for a monitoring well to be installed as well, just to be sure, and, you know, due to all the concerns of the leachate in that area. So thank you again. Glad to hear that. I appreciate that update, and any additional updates you can give us in the future would be also appreciated.
Okay. Yeah, I was brought this up, Matt. I was just curious, have there been any interaction with Reason Barge? Have they reached out to us to them? Or?
No, not yet. But, part of getting the technical resource on board is to kind of run through what's out there and known and then determine what would be the appropriate communication or pathway to get in the loop there.
Thank you very much. I believe that completes item 8, and tonight we won't skip the committee meeting recap report, so we'll move on to item 9, committee meeting recap reports for informational purposes only. There was only one in our board packet. Are there any public comments on the committee recap report, Madam Secretary?
There is not.
Thank you very much. Are there any questions about the committee recap report? There is none. We can move on to item 10, written reports for informational purposes only. There are 4 reports included in your packet, as well as the committee planning calendar. Before we go to board questions, are there any public comments on that item, April?
There is none.
Very good. Any questions on the written reports or planning calendar? Director Armitage.
Thank you. A couple comments on the Finance Administration and Information Technology Services section report. There was one of the items under Fleet Warehouse explained that staff joined other fleets, including LADWP, City of Long Beach, City of Austin, City of Sacramento, to form an electric vehicle consortium to make data-driven decisions about electric vehicles by sharing best practices and data. And I just want to say that I appreciate seeing this inter-agency collaboration happening and kind of cross-pollination of ideas. I think that's really great. So I just want to give kudos for that. And then on the last page of the report, it explains that staff is gathering weed abatement and rodent control quotations for the solar fields at Rio Vista. And I just want to ask that any weed abatement strategies not include chemical sprays that can be harmful to our beneficial insects. Hopefully there's other strategies that can be used. And for the rodent control, that we not use anything that includes an anticoagulant that affects all the other animals in the food web outside of the rodents. I believe California did actually pass a law that prohibits their sale starting this year, but I just want to be sure and make sure we're not using anything that's old. For treatment distribution, operations and maintenance section report, just wanted to give a shout out and kudos again to the safety team, because I see here that there were no reportable incidents for the month of January 2024. So I always do a little happy dance when I see that. And then lastly, for water resources and outreach section report, I did send a number of my questions ahead of time to Mr. Cole because I figured it would take some time to answer. Did want to give a hearty congratulations to Ms. Gallegos. It explains in here that she was selected to participate in the California Water Education Foundation's Water Leaders Program. I think it's fantastic to see her have this opportunity to influence her leadership development. And I want please know that we are cheering her on in this new endeavor, and I think it's fantastic. Let's see. One question. There was the note that this is under grants. It was determined that SCD Water would not submit an application under FEMA's Hazard Mitigation Grant Program for earthquake tank retrofit project. So my question is there still a plan to do the earthquake
tank retrofitting?
My first try here. Yes. I think what we were trying to do was package together several tanks for a grant application. There was a pre-consult on that grant application that didn't score very well on the criteria, and so we decided not to file the application. But the reservoirs themselves will continue to go under evaluation, and then they'll probably see that come not all in a big group, but more one at a time through.
Thank you.
Well,
that was it.
Good. Any other questions for the meeting reports or the planning calendar? Seeing none, thank you for the reports. And item 10, we move on to item 11, President's Report. I have an update to the board for a few items. The Aqua 2024 Spring Conference will be in Sacramento May 7 to May 9th. The SCD Chamber of Commerce 15th Annual State of the County will be June 6th at the Hyatt. Please check your emails for additional events. Upcoming board meetings in this very location at Pine Street. The special board meeting on March 11th at 6 p.m. Regular board meetings on March 19th at 6 p.m. and on April 2nd at 6 p.m. Upcoming committee meetings at Summit Circle in the EWS boardroom at 5:30. The March 7th Engineering and Operations. The March 13th Water Resources and Watershed. March 18th, Finance and Administration Committee, and the March 21st, Public Outreach and Legislation Committee. That concludes my report. Are there any public comments, Madam Secretary?
There is not.
Thank you very much. Any questions from the board on any of those items? Director Armitage.
Thank you. I have a question about the special board meeting. On the 11th, I know it's the purpose is for us to speak about board meetings and committee meeting structure and flow of information and all of that. So right. First of all, I'm very glad that we're having that. Thank you. I'm wondering if it would be helpful for us to have a more productive conversation if we knew coming into the meeting what other agencies are doing in terms of how they structure their flow of information from the board to the committee and what their committee structures look like. So similar to like when we get reports in FNA, when they reach out to benchmark agencies to see how they do it, if we could have something like that ahead of time to help us frame our conversation, I think it might be helpful. So I'm throwing that out as a suggestion.
Okay. Your request is noted. We'll do our best to have some information. I know I have first information from the agency I worked at for 20 years, but it's very similar to what we do, but so thank you very much. Any other questions about the President's Report? Thank you very much. We can move on to, let's see, where are we? Item 12, AB 1234 reports. Let's see. Yes, AB 1234 reports. There is one report in your report packet from Vice President Gutzeit and one report that was received from myself and emailed and posted to the SCD Water website. That is in each of our spots. Are there any additional AB 1234 reports? You know, Vice President Ozahatsky.
Right on. February 21st, I attended the SCD Chamber of Commerce February Business Minister Tommy's Mistake, a business that sells recreational boats and all sorts of water activities. It was a great venue. I'm actually happy to say that the business has a design center where they provide information on how to get your boating license. So what are some of the common issues around the Castaic Lake and Pyramid Lake and Lake Piru, and working on some writing with collateral regarding invasive species and what can boaters do to prevent that introduction to Castaic Lake, prevent any issues with our intakes at Earl Schmidt. That's it. Back to you, President.
Very good. Thank you. Any other AD 1234 director? Ronstein.
I get the fun
microphone. I don't know if anybody can hear me, but I'm going to talk. On February 21st, I attended the North Los Angeles Special District, right? Luncheon?
Yep.
Okay, got it right. Where Catherine Berger, okay, I know her name is pronounced in Austin, so I want to make sure I got it right, was there and gave it the presentation, and then an excellent presentation with the sanitation district. It was really, really cool and informative, and I think we should hear more of that stuff. It was really cool. But that's it for me.
Gretchen Ronstein, where was that held?
The center, the city of Santa Cruz, is called the Center. It's by the activity center.
Thank you.
I don't know what its name is. That's a director. I too attended that event. It was very good. Catherine Martin ran a good program, and sanitation put on an exceptional program. Very, very good. Thank you.
All right. I think that you have a lot of presentations.
I also attended the North Los Angeles County Senate Special District Association.
Director Bernstein.
Nope.
Director Arlington.
Okay. Thank you. I also attended the February 21st Special District Association of North LA County General Membership meeting as well. Yes, the keynote speaker was Supervisor Catherine Berger. It was really great to hear an update from her. I also thought the sanitation district presentation was fantastic. And so, yeah, so hopefully everybody enjoyed it and look forward to sharing more information about the next general membership meeting. So, thanks.
Thank you. All right. I think that concludes the AB 1234 reports tonight. Do we have a public comment on the reports?
We do not.
Very good. Then we can move on to item 13, director reports. Are there any director reports tonight?
Yeah. Oh,
director. After Armitage.
I just like to point out that Director Cooper was attracting. So as with my CSDA liaison hat on, I just want to share that CSDA is hosting or co-hosting, I believe, something called the Resilience Summit, and it is going to be on April 12th. It's virtual. It's hosted by USC Sol Price School of Public Policy. It's free to CSDA members, and the topics of conversation will be energy financing, zero emission vehicle funding resources, advanced clean fleets, and hazard mitigation plans. So I just want to throw it out in case anybody's interested. I can send you more information if you want it. And then lastly, I want to say thank you to Ms. Jacobs for all the work she did to move us to this location. And a big thank you to the IT team for setting up the IT. I know it's probably like a massive move. And clearly there's like little hiccups that are being worked out tonight, but I think considering a first try, it's been great. And thank you to all the team for doing all the work you've done.
Very good. Any other director reports? All right, seeing none, we move to item 14, director request for event attendance. Do we have any requests for event attendance? Do not see any, so that is to take us to item 15, adjournment. So Director Armitage stole my thunder when I was going to IT staff. I think the entire IT staff is here, almost. And so thank you very much, April, all your efforts to get us into here.
Parking lot attendants also were helpful.
Parking lot attendants, security people, the people who made our snatch lines. Well, with that, we are adjourned. Thank you very much.
Matt. Matt.